Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity that you've given me to stand before you again this Lord's Day. It's good to be with you, brethren, on this cold and somewhat blustery Lord's Day. I'd like to start this morning by asking you a question. Have you ever known someone who has fallen away from the Lord? I know that everyone here has, from what I know about your congregation, and I can say the same of myself. And it's truly a heart-wrenching, sad thing when someone leaves the service of our Lord. Have you ever thought to yourself how they came to that point where they cut all ties and turned their back on the Lord? And as I've thought about that and thought about the situation that those people find themselves in, I've often thought of myself, could that ever happen to me? Have you ever wondered that? Could it ever happen to you? Could you ever fall away from the Lord and turn your back on Him? I don't think any of us can say that we would be immune to that. And if you do think that you're immune to that, you are in a special danger. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. Paul says very plainly there, very clearly, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." It's when we think that we're invincible that we need to watch our backs the most. We need to be careful that we don't get too proud in our thinking that we are invincible and the devil could not get to us. I've often used the analogy that we can't tread water for the Lord. And I think that's a very apt analogy. Think about being in a large, deep body of water. What must you do? You must swim. Now, you can literally tread water for a short time, but that's not an indefinite way to get yourself to safety. You're going to have to either move forward and swim to safety, to a dry place, or eventually you will sink. You can't tread water forever. And the same is true in a spiritual context. If we're not growing in our faith, growing in our knowledge and our strength in the Lord, we will eventually falter and we will move backward. We will fail. Well, how do we prevent that? That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What I've got to say is nothing new. But in our congregation there at Richmond, we've got a brother and a sister who have both recently fallen away. And this has been on my mind a great deal. How can we prevent ourselves? How can I prevent me in my life and you in your life from falling into a pattern that leads to turning our back on the Lord? I think it's important to note that it is a process. We might often use the term people have drifted away from the Lord. And that implies that it's over a period of time. That's how it happens. Someone who is strong in the Lord is not going to quit tomorrow. But it's through small steps, small omissions, that we drift slowly away from the Lord. Well, how can we prevent ourselves from doing that? It takes vigilance. It takes concentration. It takes action on our parts every day. Every day we need to be concerned with our service to the Lord. And there are certain things that the Scriptures tell us that we need to fill our time with. And so I'm going to talk about four things today that we need to be doing every day of our life. And you may be doing some of these or hopefully all of these. And like I said, this is nothing new, but I think it's always bears bringing to mind again or bringing to our remembrance these things. Got several analogies I'll bring forth in the lesson today. One of the analogies that we often use in my workplace that I like is that failing to plan is planning to fail. When we're not setting a goal, setting a plan to move forward, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. So we need to plan to succeed in growing in the Lord. We need to proactively schedule our lives around activities that will help us to gain strength and to remain strong in the Lord. Not very good writing on the board. But every day, we need to let God say something to us, or we need to listen to God. Turn with me to Hebrews, the first chapter. Do you let a day go by in your life where you don't listen to what God has said? probably all of us can say that that has happened to us. That there's been a day that has just been so hectic, that we've been so busy, that we've not taken the time to open God's Word and listen to what He has to say to us. But we need to be sure that every day we listen to what God has to say to us. In Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 and 2, a basic concept that we in this audience probably all understand is that how God speaks to us. First of all, it says here that God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. There are people out there in the world who have many different ideas about how God may communicate with them. And there's people in the world today who think that God speaks to them, that a little voice speaks in the back of their mind. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I think this lays the groundwork. How has God spoken to us in this dispensation, in this time period? It has been through His Son. And we could go to many other scriptures and find that His Son has spoken to us and left His Word through the Gospel. And that's what we're talking about here. And I think that you as an audience of believers here this morning understand that. So I'm not going to belabor that point. But God has spoken to us through Christ, through the Gospel. And to listen to God, we need to read and heed the Gospel. Turn with me back to the book of Psalms. Let's look at a couple of different verses there on what the psalmist had to say about the Word of God, which today is the Gospel. At that time would have been the law. But it's the same thing. It's God's law at that time, just as we have God's law at our time. In the 119th Psalm, in the 105th verse, it says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The Word of God shows us where we are to walk. That's what a lamp for our feet would do. Think about out on a dark night, and perhaps you've been camping and you've been out in the woods and you don't know where to step, you don't know where to walk. You need a flashlight. It literally shows you the path where you are to walk. And the analogy there is that in our lives, as we live, how do we know how to live? We need the Word of God to tell us how we are to live in these bodies that our souls are in. We don't know what is best for us. We don't know how we are to walk through this life, lest God is to tell us. And He tells us that through His Word. So we need to hear that. We need that light to show us the way. It's not within ourselves to know what God wants from us. And so every day we need to open His Word and find that. Turn with me now back to the first psalm. In Psalm 1, it says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish." He gives a beautiful contrast here of the wicked and the righteous. And it says that the righteous man delights in the law of the Lord. Do you think about reading and studying your Bible as drudgery or as a chore? Or do you delight in the opportunity to open God's Word and to study it? To learn something that God wants you to know? We should delight in that. We should look forward to that every day. It says here that he meditates on it day and night. You might say, "Well, I read my Bible every day." But just sometimes we get in the habit of opening it and saying, "Well, how little do I have to read?" Sometimes we want a limit on things. Well, if I read one chapter, isn't that studying my Bible? I can't say that it is, and I can't say that it's not. Obviously it is, reading the Word. But we need to meditate on it day and night. And we need to not let a day go by that we don't take in spiritual nourishment. We need to plan to succeed, lest we fail. We can go back to the New Testament, to 1 Timothy 4:13. It says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." Now he's talking here about the things that they're commanded to do, but they were to pay attention to the public reading of Scripture. They were to ingest God's Word, is what that means. To exhortation and to teaching. To teach what? To teach God's Word. Just a few words here that we can go to the New Testament as well and find Scriptures where we are to devote ourselves to the Word of God. Paul's second epistle to Timothy, in 2 Timothy 2:15, he admonishes Timothy, saying, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." How is it that we can come to handle accurately God's word? It is through the study of that. If you were to hire someone to come into your home to maybe work on your chimney, and they didn't know how to use a trowel, they didn't even know anything about the tools that were required to do the job, what would you think of that person as a workman? That's what he's saying here. If we as Christians, and David alluded to it this morning, that we need to know how to answer the questions of the people we come in contact with. We need to know how to utilize God's Word to teach the lost, to sow the seed. And we're not going to do that by osmosis. We're not going to be doing it. We're not going to learn how to do that by placing our Bible under our pillow or by keeping it on the coffee table or the end table in your home. You're going to have to open it. You're going to have to study it. And we need to study it on a daily basis. But not only do we need to listen to God on a daily basis, we need to say something to God on a daily basis. And that's through prayer. Turn with me back to Psalms again. In the 66th Psalm, in the 8th verse, we see a reason for why we live the way we live and how that affects prayer. In Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." He's talking here about our prayers being hindered when we allow iniquity to exist in our hearts, or sin to be in our lives, in other words. We need to be careful that we're trying to live righteously, lest God will not hear us. That's what he's saying. Now turn with me to Proverbs, the 28th chapter. In Proverbs 28:9, it says, "He who turns his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination." He who turns his ear from listening to the law. I think a case could be made there for someone who is not studying. Or you could also make a more literal translation of that. Someone who is not living according to the law. Those who have sin, who are not trying to follow God, God is not going to hear their prayers. We know that we need to pray to God. And what this is illustrating is that we have to be trying to serve the Lord for those prayers to be effective. We started speaking this morning about people who have drifted away, fallen away from the Lord. I think if you will think about times in your own life when you've maybe not been as strong, in hindsight, we can look back and see times where we were weak, times where we faltered. Think about how your study life was and your prayer life was during those times. I think if you're honest with yourself, you'll see that those things were lacking during those times. People who drift away and fall away from the Lord are not engaged in Bible study as they should be most of the time. Can't speak conclusively, exclusively there. But I think people who fall away and drift away from the Lord aren't praying to the Lord as they should either. They're not listening and speaking with the Master. There's another adage that I found in preparing for this lesson. It is that prayer will stop sin, or sin will stop prayer. When we are devoted to prayer in our lives, to praying to our Lord, that's going to help us to stay strong, and it's going to keep us from drifting into sin and into unrighteousness. But when we quit talking to God, we shut that spiritual side of our minds and our lives off, sin often creeps into our lives. So one counteracts the other. The more prayer we do, the less likely we are to sin. The less prayer we have in our lives, the more likely sin is to creep into our actions. Now going back to the New Testament, some verses that speak about how our prayer life should be. In the gospel, in the epistle to James, in James 5 and 16, it says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." We need to spend some quality time speaking to our Lord. I'm not talking about speaking a few quick words before a meal, or kneeling beside our children's bed and helping them say their goodnight prayers. It just are a few quick things that they say to the Lord, thanking God for their toys and for their food. We as adults, as Christians, as servants of our Lord, need to spend time praying to Him. And it's just that it takes time. I'm not going to take the time this morning to look at the examples of Christ, but think about the examples we have of Christ praying to God. And if He needed to pray to God, how much more so do we need to pray to God? And we have many examples of Him praying over long periods of time. We need to probably step back and think, are we praying enough? And are we every day carving out time to do that? Because if we don't carve out the time, we all have 24 hours in the day. And we choose how we spend that. Now some of those things are forced upon us. Most of us are told when we must go to work. And we can't change that. If you work for someone else, they tell you when to get there usually. And we can't change that. But we have time that we dispose of at our own discretion. We have time that many of us sit in front of the television. Is that better spent talking to God or listening to God? Certainly it is. I'm not saying that we should never engulf ourselves in recreation, but we need to make sure, first of all, every day we carve out, we plan time to listen to God and to say something to God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, it says, "Pray without ceasing." Do we pray without ceasing? Do you pray without ceasing? Those who fall away, I would dare say, have ceased to pray as they should. We need to make sure that every day we talk to God. Every day we need to say something for God. Now we've talked thus far about listening to God and talking to God. Now let's talk about some things that we do in our lives. Every day we need to say something for God. Listening to God and from His Word, praying to God are things that affect our lives and our inner selves. But now let's turn to the things that we do for God, outwardly, that manifest in our lives. Each day we need to be busy spreading our faith, spreading the gospel, sowing the seed. We need to say something on behalf of our Lord every day. We need to be an evangelical people, not someone who just keeps our religion private. That's a popular thing in the mainstream society, that it's my right to believe what I want to believe, it's your right to believe what you want to believe, and we shouldn't force that upon one another. Well, we're not forcing it, but it is the good news that we should be willing and wanting to spread. Turn with me to Philippians, the first chapter. We're going to approach this from two different angles. In Philippians 1 and 27, Paul says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Certainly, saying something for God can take the form of literally from our mouths speaking the gospel or speaking something good. But there is another way that our lives can say something to those we come in contact with. Here in Philippians 1 and 27, he was admonishing them to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's not talking about them saying something. He's talking about the manner in which they live their life, and that spoke to those around them. And we can do the same thing today in all of our actions. They were to conduct themselves in that way so that whether he came and saw them or remained absent, he wanted to hear that they were doing that. And that was going to be an encouragement to Paul. You know, we can do that in every facet of our life. The manner in which we dispatch our duties at our workplace says something about who we are. Are we happy as we go throughout our lives? People see that. If we live a miserable existence and we're always down and we're always depressed and we're always angry, people aren't going to want to have what we have. We're Christians and we should let that show in our actions. And by living a holy, a chaste, a sober life, people are going to notice that. Not in just the opportunities that we have to evangelize, but in just our everyday things. The people that we see at the grocery store, your coworkers certainly, your neighbors are going to see that you are different. But there is something about you by your conduct. That is one way to say something for God in our daily lives. Now the other way, obviously, is the more straightforward way, and that is to actually speak the word on God's behalf. In Matthew 5 and 16, it says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We aren't to keep the spiritual side of our lives hidden. We are to let our light shine. We should not be embarrassed that we're Christians, or we should not be ashamed of that fact, certainly not at all. We are to let our light shine before the world. Now over in Matthew 28 and 19, there are many different ways to let that light shine. But in Matthew 28 and 19, the admonition is given by our Lord specifically to the disciples. But we can take heed of it as well. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." I'm so encouraged by your brother David here as we come up here only once a month, but I hear him speaking, and it's very clear to hear him when he talks in the Bible class or otherwise. It's very clear to know that he is trying to evangelize in his daily life. Whether it's someone he meets at the gas station, like he said yesterday, or someone he meets in his workplace, or wherever it is, we need to be like that. We need to try to let our light shine, to evangelize the world, to make disciples of all the nations, Christ says. We can't just write people off. Well, those people are sinners. They wouldn't want to live like I do because they're worldly. They would never want to live a Christian life because they enjoy the things of the world too much. We can't judge someone, and we're sentencing them beforehand by writing them off. We need to try to say something for God every day. Do we do that? Do we get up in the morning and say, "I'm going to look for opportunities today to try to bring up religious things in a discussion, whether it is with my coworkers, whether it is someone at the gas station, the grocery store, whether it's my neighbor who I see every morning as we leave for work or in the evenings when we're home." We need to make it a goal of ours to be busy saying something for God. Every day we need to do something. It's closely related to saying something, but I think we can differentiate it somewhat. We need to be busy in our lives. We need to fill our time proactively listening to God, talking to God, saying things on His behalf in our lives, but also doing deeds, doing things, which may be spiritual, which may not, we will find. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, and the 10th verse, Paul says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." We are commanded here to do good to all men. What is he talking about there? He's just talking about simple good deeds. Perhaps like that of the Good Samaritan. It could be any good turn that you could do to your neighbor, to your co-worker, to a total stranger that you find in need. We are commanded to do good deeds. This harkens back to the passage we read a moment ago where our conduct speaks for us. By doing those good deeds, people will know that we have love in our hearts, and they'll want to know why we took the time to do something good for them. And that simply opens the door for us to be able to teach them the gospel. We need to find those opportunities. We need to plan for those opportunities. We can't let ourselves become so busy that we don't have time for other people. It's easy to let our days fill up. I know. We have 4 small children. I have a job that is more than 40 hours a week. There's so many things that pull on our time, and each of you have your own list that can more than fill your time, I know. And we can't let our time just be absorbed by the things that will absorb it, by our work, by our recreation, by our chores in our homes. We have to make sure there is opportunity and plan for that opportunity to do good for others. It's not an extra. It's something that we are commanded. We are expected to do. Turn with me to James, the 5th chapter. In James 5, verses 19 through 20, it says, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Doing something for good is not simply doing a good turn in our daily physical lives, but doing something for God also means teaching the Word, as we talked about, saying something for God, our third point this morning. And when we do that, when someone opens their heart, accepts the gospel, God adds them to His church, a soul is saved. And that's the end result that we're all living for day to day. Help to save souls. The power is in God. But we are His tools. We are His messengers. And that is the ultimate good that we can do for God in this life, is to help to spread His Word so that souls might be saved. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." This kind of goes back to my point that every day we need to be planning to do these things in our lives. And this verse speaks to the devotion, the dedication with which we do that. Why do I say every day? Because we can't tread water for the Lord. We're either moving forward, and we mark time in days in our lives, or we're going to be falling behind. We're going to be sinking in the deep water. He says in the 58th verse there, to be steadfast, to be immovable. It means we're not going to be on fire one day and cold the next. To be steadfast means we're always plugging away at this goal. To be immovable means that our attentions are not distracted, that we don't fall away from the task at hand. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When? Always. How often is that? I propose that it's every day. We are abounding in the work of the Lord. It's not something that we do on the Lord's Day only. It's not something, well, Saturday I've got some free time. Saturday I could maybe do something to help God's cause, to maybe do a good turn one time for my brother. Every day we need to plan to succeed, to plan to spend time in prayer, to plan to spend time studying, to look for opportunities to do good. to look for those little opportunities to say something in a religious context to those that we come in contact with every day. The people that I know that I can influence are people that you might never meet. And the people that you come in contact with, each one of you on a daily basis, are people that the rest of us might not ever know. We each have unique circles of influence. And we may be the only chance that person ever has to hear the truth. Are we going to be too busy to recognize that opportunity? Too busy to act on that opportunity? We can't be. Finally, back where we started in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. He's talking to Christians here. Did you ever think that the people that you know that have drifted away from the Lord would do that? Maybe you saw weaknesses in their lives, maybe you didn't. Could that ever happen to me or could that ever happen to you? Certainly, we all need to guard against it or it could. When we think we're the strongest, we need to watch our backs. And the way to do that is to every day talk to God, listen to God, and to act on His behalf, saying things and doing things as He has instructed us to in His Word. This has not been a lesson of anything new, of anything earth-shattering. Hopefully it's been a lesson of remembrance, of reminding myself and reminding you of the things that we need to do. Remember, failing to plan is planning to fail. These things won't just happen. We're not going to wake up in 5 years or 10 years, if the Lord wills that we live that long, and realize that we're much stronger of a Christian if we don't plan to get there. It's not going to happen on accident. Well, that's the lesson that I prepared for you this morning. But before we part this morning, we want to offer the Lord's invitation. If there's anyone here who has need to respond to that invitation, certainly we want you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.